This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD, man.
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, dude.
How's it going, brother? How you doing?
Well, doing okay. It's been kind of a up and down several days here. We were supposed to, as I mentioned last week on the show, go to New Hampshire this past week for, just to visit my in-laws and, bring the newborn up there and get to see the beautiful winter time up there in New England. And, my baby had an ear infection. And
so, oh my gosh.
Just kind of a mess. And then, my wife at the same time wound up having a sinus infection and actually got pink eye, which I mean, I didn't even know you could get still.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a mess, man. So we actually stayed home. Do you remember those times when you were a kid and you're like, yes, I get to stay home because I'm sick? And uh-huh. Like, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to watch The Price is Right and just be pitiful and like take naps and I don't know, read your favorite comic book or something. But then really you're just kind of miserable because you don't feel good. And you can't do anything because mom's not there to drive you around. And like,
well, and then in our house, it was like, mom wanted to make sure you were sick. So if you didn't feel miserable being sick, you got put to work. So
that's the problem, right? Yeah. It's like, you got to sell it, right? You got to sell the sickness.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, we had a, it's a little bit of a disappointing week, but, true to form, as you well know, your baby brings home some sickness and then your wife gets sick. And of course, eventually you get sick. And so that's kind of where we are now. But, things are good, rocking and rolling at ye old Country Squire, man, at the old pipe shop. And it's just been a really fun kickoff to this year, dude. I can't tell you how much, even with the hiccups this past week, we've just been so encouraged by all the folks reaching out to us for our 50th anniversary and, just interest in the different events that we've got going on and some exciting announcements coming up. So, things are great here, man. Are you doing okay? What's going on in Houston?
Doing well, man. Of course, you coming out of the the immune system Thunderdome are really kind of entering into it. I feel for you. No, man, Houston is great. We got some beautiful weather right now, and so things are going really well. I mentioned on the show last week that I thought I had sprained my foot. It turned out I had broken two bones. Well, surprise, I actually broke four bones.
So. Dude, are you snake bit or what?
I don't know what's going on, man. Like we went to the urgent care, they scanned it, they said I broke two bones, but they suggested I go to an orthopedist, and so I went in, they scanned it, they said, nope, you actually broke four bones, and so they put me in a boot, and so I'm in a boot, and I'm not even recording in the normal place in the house where I record, so if I sound slightly different this week and for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, that would be why. Because I can't really go upstairs anymore, at least not on a regular basis.
Yeah, so you have this boot thing now, and that it's just a shame that we're not together because anymore, because these are the kind of things I would regularly make fun of you for.
Oh, big time. Yes. I mean, absolutely. I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking away the other day, and I'm moving around like peg meg, like I'm rolling around on a peg leg.
Yeah, so, I was just thinking to myself, like, I would love the whole concept of you having a peg leg and then with the pirate stick, and I don't know, I could just we could have a lot of fun with that.
Of course. Oh, absolutely. But it's been a bit of a process getting used to it, but
yeah,
my kids have been very, very helpful, which is really good. They're at a good age.
Well,
it'd be bad
good.
If they were a little bit younger, but it's a good age to break your foot, really. And the family life stage that we're at.
So you're sitting there like quote unquote helpless, really trying to sell that sickness.
And exactly. Like, that's what it is.
Come on, thing number one, thing number two, go get me a Sam Adams from the beer, and I need my favorite tamper because I don't want to go across the room, right? So you gotta sell it,
Exactly. That's what it switches. So like I said, when you're a kid and you're sick, then you have to really sell it so that your mom doesn't put you to work. And it's the same thing when you're an adult. You gotta sell it so your kids don't ask you to do too much.
Go get me the Savinelli, and they bring you the Savinelli. No, not that one. Bring me the other one and get me a beer while you're at it.
Right, man. Well, hey, there is, you know, it has been a process, but, you know, it's been good times here. Of course, we got a lot of stuff that's going on in the pipe world. You know, I want to make mention of this because we actually just got our tickets lined up like just before clicking the recording button, man. So I will be, it is now confirmed that I'll be flying to Jackson for A Lent to Remember, happening March 28th. Scott Beidler, who of the Lunting Society, has been working with you, John David, to get this all right. We'll be recording some episodes live. This will be an amazing opportunity to actually come down, make your pilgrimage to the Country Squire, get some walking in. I don't know yet what the extent of my walking at the time will be. I will figure it out though. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe, and I'm just putting this out here. You've seen those daises where like multiple people like carry you while you're on like a throne.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not saying people should do that. But I mean like that would be one way to move me around during A Lent to Remember.
Or just putting
it out there. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Or you could be the guy that is going around refilling everybody's drinks. How about that?
I can't even do that. No, but I can't because of the leg. Anyway.
I don't know. At this point, we're going to have trouble selling it. I think you've kind of let the cat out of the bag.
It's going to be fun, but we really do hope that a lot of folks can come on down because this is really going to be an event unlike anything we've ever done, man. And we've done some amazing things from the being at the pipe show, various pipe shows over the years. Of course, our 300th episode at Missouri Meerschaum was a big, big moment for us and an amazing experience. This I feel like with every single step of the times that we've done kind of live shows like this, it's got bigger and better. And each time has just kind of grown in its specialness. And I have a feeling, man, this is going to be one that we're never going to forget.
Yeah, I agree, man. It will be special. Of course, it's March 28th. That's a Saturday here in Jackson, Mississippi, LaFleur's Bluff State Park. A Lunt to Remember in partnership with the International Lunting Society. And, man, we would love for you to come. If you're going to make your pipe pilgrimage to the Country Squire and, man, come hang out with pipe smokers from all over the country, we would be thrilled to have you. So sign up. We need you to sign up at lunting.org. You can find all the information you need there. It's a free event, but there will be like a small parking fee at the state park there, and then at the after party, of course, is you know, a lot of folks will be coming just for that, and we will have live music at the Country Squire. We've gotten great participation from our sponsors, Missouri Meerschaum and Briarworks International, and also, you know, Lane and STG, you know, the folks with Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Peter Stokeby, Lane Tobaccos. It'll be, man, just such a great spread. And, of course, yours truly. So we are fired up. Come on down, and we look forward to having you.
It's gonna be a blast. You've got, I'm guessing, but I mean, like, you've lined up some all hands on deck so you could be out glad handing and out running the cash register, right?
That's the hope. Yeah. I mean, we're working in that direction. We're, you know me, things are going to be a little last minute, but I figured
that's why I just wanted to mention that. Like, you know, you might want to pull in, you know, the anti-hurricane or somebody just to be on site to handle some things.
No, that's right.
It'll be a blast. What other, man, I know that like, this is like event season for the Country Squire. What else you got going on?
Well, of course, next month, on February 28th, the month before the other event, we have the honor of hosting Eric Nording at the Country Squire. He'll be, man, with his pipes and cigar line, actually, here at the shop. And that'll be that afternoon from 2 to 6 p.m. on February 28th. And, man, just really excited to have, you know, one of the world's most revered pipe carvers, pipe manufacturers, and pipe personalities here at the Country Squire in celebration of our 50th anniversary. So really fired up for that, and man, just honored to have him here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, you know, we are part of a great pipe community from all over the world, but man, we've been mentioning it these last couple of weeks. We'll continue to do so up until the event itself, but we've got the fundraiser for Rob E that's going on up in Michigan. Now, of course, Rob E fighting off stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. I think I'm saying that right. And they've got the Smoke 'em If You Got 'em poker tournament that they're going to be putting on to help support him. That's of course happening on International Pipe Smoking Day. That's February 20th. They actually just completed, if I'm not mistaken, either last week or the week before, a fundraiser for the fundraiser. So I know some people saw that and got a little confused, but no, the actual event itself is the Smoke 'em If You Got 'em on International Pipe Smoking Day, February 20th. No matter where you are in the world, you can actually support by buying raffle tickets, even if you're not able to make the event. You can do so and by just contacting Cody DeWint. He'll get you set up. That's CodyDeWint@gmail.com. And yeah, Cody, of course, longtime listener and friend of the show, and Robbie, a great presence in the pipe community, and someone we really want to rally around right now.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of just a lot of excellent support for this this event for Robbie, and we're just really thrilled to be a small part of that. But giving away pipes from pipe makers all around that are just really incredibly impressive. Some really good donations there. Lots of artisan makers, lots of limited edition tin tobaccos and things of that nature. So you can buy those raffle tickets if you'll just email CodyDeWint@gmail.com. That's CodyDeWint@gmail.com. Let him know and get that set up, and you can have the chance to support a good friend and also maybe win something cool.
All right, man, we need to we got a show today. We got a very fun show today. and this is I'm just going ahead and doing something I never do, which is just acknowledging the fact that I'm starting a transition. And I do so because we're not starting this transition with where we're going to end up, but it's all connected because I got a package from you in the mail.
Yep.
And I always love they really are. They're like terrifying little question mark Riddler packages. You know what I mean? Like Batman would find these all over Gotham City and not quite know if it's like a bomb or if it's chemical poisoning or what it could be.
Because magazine package, letters cut out kind of thing.
Exactly. In this package, I feel like there's three things that I want to kind of acknowledge that was in this package I got from you. The first, you've actually made mention of on the show, and this is kind of like a I was excited, very excited to get this because, you know, I had heard that this was created, but this is actually a kind of a pipe tamp that was custom created by one of our listeners.
That's right, man. Our recent club member and longtime listener, Andre Tessier from New York, man, he was so kind to make a custom tamper from a tree branch that is from a tree right outside the front door of the Country Squire. So yeah, when he came for his pipe pilgrimage maybe six months ago, something like that, Andre snuck around and got a couple of branches unbeknownst to me and went home and made some gorgeous tamper out of them, and man, just really beautiful spalted wood, and did an awesome job. They're really really cool keepsakes, so we're honored to have those.
Absolutely gorgeous. I gotta say, man, just the great talent here. You know, when you were describing it over the show, when you mentioned this was coming, I don't think I quite realized just how much this wasn't just like a, you know, just to tamp it down, but the way he kind of carved the back end of the
yeah
of the twig, I mean, like, you can really get in there and kind of clean out your pipe. I mean, this is
it's a
fully
great scraper,
functional,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah, really nice kind of pick and spoon there to scoop your stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
It's really, really nice. Yeah.
Well, this is going into my collection and rotation as very much kind of a prized possession. This means so much even more to me now since I'm not in town, just to have this little piece of the Squire. So I want to tell Andre, thank you so much. It's gorgeous. So that's the thing I got. I got this out and I was like, oh, I'm so excited to get this and look at this and just enjoy this. Then I got something that was kind of a question mark where I was happy that I got it, but I didn't quite understand it. And that is, I got two packages of Swan Vesta's matches. And
yes.
I've got questions. Why, John David? Why do I have two cases of Swan Vesta matches?
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, we have here around the shop all the time and, you know, sell and use all the time. But I knew, you know, down there, just busyness and not being able to get, you know, around as much as you probably like. You probably haven't seen those before. Or maybe you haven't
had
access to them. But Swan matches, we've sold them for a long time. This is the ones I sent you are the 2.5-inch stick matches, if I'm remembering
60
right.
60 long matches. Let's see. Yeah, 2.5. It looks like it would be about 2.5 inches.
Yeah, 2 or 2.25. 2.5 inches, something like that. But these are sulfur-free matches. They are the most premium matches, most likely in the world, and wow, and are just coveted by pipe smokers to light their pipe, just because it's a little bit of a long match, so you have a little more time to get a really nice cherry on your pipe before you tamp it without having to light multiple matches. But then also the sulfur-free experience gives you that nice chemical-free taste. It just finished, you know, is a really clean flavor that isn't interfered with any kind of, you know, chemicals. So, yeah, just you know, kind of a luxurious match to light your, you know, light your pipe with. A lot of folks keep them around the house displayed just because they're nice looking, and you can leave them on the table when you light candles and stuff like that. Folks enjoy them, but kind of expensive, you know. I think those little packs go for, I don't know, $3 a piece or something. But you know, for matches, and you know, it's something that you the pipe smoking is part of the process and everything, and so, you know, that even goes trickles down to your match. And so the match, it's just beautiful pieces, and yeah, we love those things. But anyway, I thought you would enjoy them.
All right, very cool. Well, I will definitely use them, and tell you if I notice a difference. I do feel almost like this might be pearls before swine, because like I am a Bic lighter. Like, I will rock the Bic lighter all the way. So
yep, that's all right. That is all right.
No, I'm actually, I might even at some point do a little like comparison video, maybe like pack three pipes, and then, you know, kind of light them like one after the other, get a couple puffs out of them, and just kind of like, you know, share my experience. I've got like a few little kind of tidbits for things I want to put on our YouTube channel. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit near the end of the show. Okay. Okay. So great. Awesome. So, high end matches from none other than the man himself, John David. Thanks for that, brother. That'll be good. All right. Now we get into the crazy trust exercise that is Squire Select in two different cities. Because here in this package, I have two small little mason jars that are completely unmarked other than a big A on one and a big B on the other. It is almost as if Morpheus has handed me the red pill and the blue pill, and that is the extent of it. I don't even get any kind of explanation of one will take me back to the Matrix and the other will, you know, show me how deep the rabbit hole goes. However, I feel like we will be going as deep as the rabbit hole goes this episode, because of course it is a Squire Select.
Now, yes.
For those that have never listened to a Squire Select episode, this is where we take two beverages, typically of some form of, you know, brown water, whiskey, or a variety of whiskey, scotch, bourbon, what have you. Could be rum, could be brandy, but we also, you know, mix in some gin or some vodka, possibly even some tea. Doesn't have to be alcoholic, but we do kind of like to stick with the various varieties of whiskey. Now, I say that to say that's what we typically do. But as mentioned before, I have no earthly idea what's in these jars, which means I don't know what's in these jars, John David. How exactly do you want to set this up? Because, of course, the goal is to pair these with pipe tobacco.
That's right. That's right. It's fun because we used to do this where, you know, I would kind of pull the jar out, or maybe you could kind of see the jar before we, or the bottle of alcohol before we kind of dove into it. And now I have the luxury of being able to send you these things, and you have literally no idea other than the color of the of the liquid that's inside. It's so pretty cool. Yeah, it is a trust exercise. You're right. But I think, you know, it we'll have a little fun with this. So, yeah, we're going to dive in. You know, I'd like to, briefly give a few notes about the first whiskey, and then we'll actually we're going to start with B today, Bo.
Oh, okay, all right, good. I was lining up A, but yeah, I'll start working on B here.
Yep. So we're gonna start with B today, and so I'll give you a few notes. We'll little points here. We'll try it together, and then I'll tell you what we're dealing with, and then we'll go into description and a tobacco pairing.
And all so, right, and just for clarity's sake, I will not know what it is until after I've drank it. You will not tell me what it is until after I've drank it, right?
Correct. That is correct. Yes. I'm really thrilled about this.
Interesting. Okay. All right. All right, man. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, man. The first one, we are going with a small batch reserve straight bourbon whiskey. It's from Louisville, Kentucky. It's made by Lux Co. Inc., which owns a lot of different, you know, spirit related companies. Handcrafted in select small batches and extra aged to perfection. It's a 90.6 proof whiskey, and the it's a bourbon that's been heavily weeded, and so it's going to have some of that you know, kind of a nice tang to it there, or, you know, if that's a kind of a thing of yours. But Bo, do you want to describe kind of the color of this whiskey?
Super light, very, very light. Now, where I'm actually at right now, we've got a lot of windows kind of going through, but that's one thing I noticed, especially in comparison to the other one, that it does seem to be much lighter. Could be. No, you know what? I was going to say it could be like a heavily steeped tea, but at the same time, like, no, you look at this is a whiskey.
Okay. Do you, you know, it, describing the smell, you know, it is, kind of a, for me anyway, a light, smell, kind of weak. You don't really get a whole lot of complexity on the nose. And then of course the, you know, there is kind of a little bit of sugar. Do you get any, notes kind of when you smell this particular whiskey?
So you mentioned like already the wheat, and that was one thing I noticed when I was kind of cracking this open. I always kind of detect like this, kind of almost this sounds like a weird descriptor, but like a grassy smell, not like a fresh cut grass type smell, nothing that strong, but like more of like you think about the wind running through like overgrown grass,
okay,
or something of that nature. It does. Yeah, so you do kind of. I mean, again, this is just from smell. This is very interesting. I've never done this before,
but I love this. I'm having fun.
Yeah, I mean, but you do kind of have kind of that charry, like oaky smell. You can tell this was stored in wood, right? Like it does have that traditional like bourbon-esque smell to it, but it isn't strong. Like it's not. This doesn't like when I opened up the jar, it didn't like smack me in the face. I'm having to kind of put my nose up to it to really kind of get in deep.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, you want to give it a shot?
All right, here we go.
Cheers.
Wow. Okay, so that's very sweet. That is very sweet. That's like sugar. I feel like I just like drank a glass of sugar.
Yes. Yes. This is it, kind of a thin palate. It has a little bit of vanilla, but you're right, man. Just straight up sugar. Like, yeah. I mean, this is just a sweet whiskey. We are drinking for our first select today, Rebel Yell Small Batch Reserve.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you think of Rebel Yell as kind of a bottom barrel, you know, whiskey, or at least, you know, a lot of folks do. I was just looking into the Rebel Yell brand, and so many funny things said about that particular brand. I love this. On scotchnoob.com, he says, let me see if I can get this
scotchnoob.com
right. Yeah, this guy does a lot of different reviews for different whiskeys and you know, things of that nature, but he says, long a resident of the bottom shelf club, Rebel Yell is a favorite of everyone from the college guy sent to the liquor store with a fistful of fives to get booze to the hobo on the corner with enough class to not be drinking vodka.
Interesting.
He says it's hard to argue with a $13 a fifth until you taste it. $13 a fifth until you taste it anyway. So why not fork over an extra $10 for the Black Label Reserve? So, wow. So this is the Rebel Yell Small Batch Reserve. You know, retails for about $29 a bottle. It does not make an age statement on the whiskey, but it's one of those whiskeys that, you know.
Oh,
you
can it's tell one of those.
It is. It, you know, it does not make an age statement on the bottle. But if you ever have had the original Rebel Yell, you can tell this is a more premium product. This is by no means a Woodford Reserve or, you know, or Pappy Van Winkle or something. But
sure.
You know, but I mean, it's a much, I think, better product than their original one. So, huh. You know, not something that, you know, is a superlative. It's not, you know, a fantastic, you know, drinking experience, not super sophisticated, but, you know, is a good, you know, kind of workhorse, you know, whiskey and something that would be great as a mixer, particularly if you mix it with rum or, you know, or I'm sorry, with, you know, Dr. Pepper or Coke or something.
Really?
Of that nature.
I mean, like, to me, it seems like that would just push the sweetness over the mark.
The sweetness is really strong here. And you know, it's one of those things that kept coming to me as I was you know, tasting this particular whiskey, and I kept bumping up against this, like, how do you describe this kind of sugar sweetness? And so I started reading other folks' reviews, kept getting you know, folks describing this stuff as you know, the similar notes as quote sugar cereal, candied notes. Some of my favorites on this were when folks were describing they would call it tutti frutti or fruity pebbles, and some of the least you know gratifying you know remarks were notes of bubble gum. You know, I think that's kind of where this is going. It's not a super complex whiskey. I mean, it's one that is really sweet. Yeah, it is sweet. And I will say this though.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of it is due to, I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about a corn-based, you know, liquor here, but it also has, you know, that high wheat content, which is just, it has a little bit of a tang. So there are no percentages that are listed on this particular bottle, but, you know, it does have that little kind of grassy tang that comes with, you know, a lot of wheated whiskeys.
You know, so this is the thing that I noticed too, like on the first, because I am not a huge fan of whiskeys that have too much like wheat to them. Like I just, yeah. that flavor profile, almost like there's almost a texture there that it does not sit well on my tongue. Like I don't know what it is. It's hard for me to define. But I will say that this one, and it's because it's overpowered by how sweet it is. Like it's like, that's definitely there. That flavor profile is there, but it's very much like subdued. And so I will say in terms of wheat whiskeys, or kind of more wheat heavy, in kind of the bourbon department, even though I will probably make fun of this for a lot of different elements in terms of, you know, trying to hide its age and, you know, calling itself Rebel Yell and, you know, yet being kind of one of the sweetest, you know, things I've ever tasted. It's not terrible. It's very good. I wouldn't go to this if I was looking for a bourbon, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't like it, if that makes sense.
And this probably, you know, if you had a room full of folks that were not particularly, you know, whiskey drinkers and, you know, were looking for a good whiskey for a big party or event or, you know, certainly something where you're going to, you know, do some cocktails or something of that nature, I think this would probably be a good go-to. So,
all right. Well, then, of course, the big question is, what is the tobacco go-to?
What is the pairing?
What should be spoken? Yeah.
Well, of course, the whiskey we tried, it's pretty sweet and it's not complex at all. And so we need something to, pair with this needs an aromatic tobacco. It needs something that's going to take advantage of the sweetness, but, maybe cover up some of the shortcomings of the whiskey. And so, we are going today with a great aromatic that we've never actually talked about before on the show. It's Seven Seas Regular Blend from Mac Baren. And Mac Baren has, of course, one of my, you know, if you listened for a while, you'll know, Mac Baren is right up there. One of my favorite tobacco manufacturers. We talked about, them and their blending and history not too long ago on the show. I can't remember how many episodes ago it was, but
Return of the Mac, if I'm not mistaken, was the name of that one.
Oh, is that right? love Mac Baren, and of course they're, you know, really well known for their Virginias, their flake tobaccos, how they get some of the best leaf in the world, and of course what Per George Jensen is doing over there with the blending, and just an awesome company, great history. But the Seven Seas blend, it's not quite a mass market blend, but it's about as close as you can get from Mac Baren, and it's just a really, really good, aromatic tobacco. It comes in a generous 3.5 ounce tin, and just so you know, you're getting a lot of tobacco. Retails, I think, for somewhere around $15 for the larger tin, which is kind of nice. But so you open this particular tin and are just immediately hit with a real chocolatey note to it. It's got just a little bit of hazelnut, which is there, almost like a Nutella flavor, which is kind of nice. That Nutella flavor is lingering, and then mixed with the chocolate, you almost think you're it's like a richer version of a Reese's peanut butter cup kind of thing. It's really, really pretty nice. But Mac Barron, you know, here has done a fine job at you know, a good aromatic that features Black Cavendish, Virginias, and Burley. The Virginias are more forward on this blend, and so they're going to have more naturally complex flavors, natural sugars, and those things pair well with the Black Cavendish, obviously, to make a smooth kind of creamy smoke. You do have to, you know, puff this tobacco a little slowly, as you do a lot of Mac Barron tobaccos. They have a, you know, tendency to get up on you if you puff them too quickly or hot box them. But this naturally sweet Virginia forward aromatic is really nice. The look of the tobacco is just real decadent. It's got a nice dark, rich look to it. Most of the leaves are just very, very dark and chocolatey and, you know, bold looking. And then you've got these nice golden leaves that kind of accent the color. Loads well. It wouldn't hurt to dry this tobacco out a little bit before you smoke it, but pairs nicely with the, you know, with the whiskey. And I think, you know, because the whiskey needs a little more complexity, but not too much to, you know, to delete it from the, you know, from the process altogether. This is a good kind of, you know, middle of the road, you know, nice, you know, full aromatic, but not something that is so flavor packed that it's going to, you know, overwhelm the whiskey. So, yeah. So Mac Barron 7Cs, regular blend, and it's a great tobacco. If you're an aromatic smoker and haven't tried it, you know, I think it's one that you ought to give a shot to.
Okay. All right. Right on, man. That's a good, good pairing. I see the logic here. Okay. Now we're moving on to A, and I feel like trust has been established, you know, cause like you didn't steer me wrong. You didn't steer me wrong here going with, but I do notice that you wanted to start with B, even though you labeled A first, which means you have a mindset as to why you have them going in this order.
Well, I don't really know that that's the case, though. I mean, I just labeled A and B just because these are the ones that maybe I got, in order or something. I don't think there was much of a method to the madness, but yeah, go into whiskey A. We have a straight bourbon whiskey. This is made by Barton in Bardstown, Kentucky. 93 proof whiskey. It's a bourbon, but has a generous rye content to it at 20% rye. You know, it's one of those that I think is in its price range a really really good whiskey and something that I've pulled for before. It says on the back of the bottle, this refined bourbon elevates Kentucky distilling to exceptional new heights. It says incomparably brash and bold, yet smooth and balanced. And so you want to describe what you see?
Yeah. So this one is going to be a bit darker from that standpoint. It's interesting because I hadn't thought about, you know, typically when I'm making like a roux, I think about kind of the darkness of the roux and always try to like have some sort of, you know, scope, especially if I'm kind of coaching somebody on what kind of, you know,
how folks that aren't, you know, familiar with maybe Cajun cooking, can you define a roux?
Absolutely. So roux, you know, so down here we got a dish called gumbo, which I guess is all over now. And the core ingredient to all gumbo is the roux, which is essentially like a gravy, that is the base, that your gumbo is made out of. And so, getting that gravy, that roux, the right, and making sure that it's the right color will really determine what the overall like flavor of your gumbo is going to be. And so and most of that is actually done by eyesight. You know, I got quick, funny aside, I was actually making some gumbo the other night and we got these spoons that are supposed to be completely like, you know, you can't burn them, you can't overheat them. Well, I was, you know, working my gumbo like crazy. And when I pulled this spoon out, it was like this rubber spoon. It was blown up like a balloon because it couldn't handle the heat. So I was like, okay, awesome. This was not made for us down here. this was made for y'all up there. This is not made for us down here. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway, so from that standpoint, I don't really know, like, I don't really have like a spectrum per se that I could kind of put this on to kind of compare it to, other than to say, this is probably more on the side of like an orange You know what I mean? Like kind of a...
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the Rebel Yell that we tried, this one, where it was more of a lemony, real light, you said like a maybe a generously like a gold, steeped tea.
Yeah.
This like one a, is yeah. on the more on the orange, you know, honey side. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. With a, you know, a good raw honey, if you will.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, give it a sip.
Okay. All right. So let me take a little whiff here. Cause one of the things I noticed immediately, I thought actually that this was not going to be a bourbon, but this was going to be a rye. Cause you can instantly kind of get that, yeah. mm-hmm. that heat from that. All right. Let me,
good call. Yeah. It's a great pickup.
Man, I love rye. Like typically I'm a bourbon that goes as far as it can with rye is a favorite. And let me tell you, just from the immediate sip right here, you feel that heat. Like first thing, the back of your throat, yeah. it just races right there.
Yeah.
I'm not getting like bite, and this might be kind of a by comparison, but I'm from the first sip, I did not pick up too much sweetness at all. Like we are back in kind of traditional bourbon territory where you're looking at kind of that, that very woody flavor, that spice heat, of the rye.
Pretty good.
It's strong. If there's anything, I wouldn't, again, how can I say this? Like a molasses kind of flavor, not in a sweet way though, if that makes sense. Yeah. If you kind of remove kind of the concept of sweetness from that, that's what I'm getting from this.
I love it. This has been a lot of fun to get your kind of blind tasting notes on.
I know. This is kind of nerve wracking to be
it's
honest.
Actually, it's great. Yeah. Well, I'm putting you through the pressure now.
I know.
You get to be the one that has to do all this. Man, today we are sampling for our second option. It's a 1792 small batch. And 1792.
Okay, nice.
Man, excellent whiskey for the price point. Retails for about $30 and readily available all over. This is one of those that would be a great house whiskey for someone as well, but someone that, you know, is more intent on, you know, drinking the whiskey, you know, for its own right and you know, maybe the whiskey connoisseur that wants to have something more, you know, readily available and inexpensive around. Not that $30 is anything to sneeze at, but, you know, compared to some of the higher dollar things that we've tried on the show before, you know, really, really reasonable. It does have that high rye component, and when you smell it in the glass, you know, you're smelling that kind of typical you know, bourbon corn based you know, notes, the sweet bready notes, butter, pears. But then when you drink it, it's almost immediately that pepper, right? The, mm-hmm. the pepper, the dry tongue, the you know, you have notes of maple, molasses, like you mentioned, you know, but that dry flavor, the tannins that are there, that you really it's similar to almost like a real heavy Cabernet, right? That leaves your tongue kind of in a warm, dry finish. Just really, really pleasant if you're you know, a fan of whiskeys that remind you that you're tasting whiskey, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I got to tell you, fun fact about 1792. So this was, probably about 7 years ago now, is when I first moved back to Jackson from Memphis. There was a brief, very brief period where I had to stay with my folks in Jackson while I was looking for a new place for us to move into. And while I was there, I wanted some bourbon to have on hand because, you know, my parents don't drink bourbon. Yeah. My dad doesn't drink and my mom only drinks wine. And so I got, a bottle of 1792. I think it was recommended by my brother. And, even though I was very much of age and a full blown adult, something about being in my parents' house and having whiskey felt weird. Yeah. So I hid it, John David. I hid this bottle of 1792 in like the room I was staying in.
You're like a 30-year-old man, like hiding booze from your whiskey from your parents. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will never forget it. It's funny because as soon as you kind of identified the brand, I took another sip of it and I was just instantly transported back to sipping that thing behind closed doors as a grown man in my parents' house.
That's awesome. Yeah, and maybe at your parents' house you went through the bottle quicker than you normally would. I don't know.
I was nervous drinking it.
That's hilarious. Well, this is the small batch of the 1792. Of course, 1792 has been around for a little while. It's named after the date that Kentucky joined the Union. Just kind of honor to, Kentucky bourbons and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Always when you look at it in the bottle, it's got a different shaped bottle from a lot of the whiskeys that you see on the shelf. And so it's always been a really elegant, elegant. Every time you buy it, you feel like you're doing something fancy,
right.
It's kind of got this nice, gold cap on it with just real, the nice warm color, liquid that's inside, and this kind of squared off bottle that's just really, really attractive. So the 1792, big gold letters on the front. And so when you drink it, I think it's a good whiskey for the price point. Anywhere the regular one, somewhere around $25 for a fifth, and not super strong. We're talking about 93, 94 proof here, but it leaves when you're drinking something nice, because it's got that 20% rye content, the pepperiness, the lingering little bit of molasses, maple, but then that finish with the it's just superlative dry finish with those tannins that kind of leave your tongue knowing that you had something substantial and really tasty. So for $30 whiskey, I just think it's a great buy. Today we are pairing it with something. Now you mentioned that this particular tobacco or this particular whiskey doesn't have a whole lot of sweetness to it. You're kind of left more with the with the pepper and the boldness that's there. So I did want to pair it with an English blend. Today we're doing Rattray's Three Noggins Full. Very old Scottish brand. We've talked about Rattray's a lot before on the show. Rattray's nowadays, it's actually made by Kohlhaas & Kopp in Germany. It's got a heavy following nowadays. After McClellan closed, Rattray's really became a source of good Virginias for people. A lot of people kind of migrated over to those tobaccos, and because of that, the Rattray's tobaccos have been hard to get. They're kind of tough to get. What's interesting though, the Three Noggins Full we're talking about today is one of the more not as popular blends from Rattray's. And so, Rattray's folks are going for their straight Virginias, their full Englishes. This is an English blend tobacco, but for whatever reason, this particular one is not quite as sought after as the other ones. I really like it, and I don't smoke a lot of English blends, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I like it, even though I don't smoke a lot of English blends. And that is because this one has a high Virginia content. Virginias, as you know, have a lot of natural sugar. They have complex characteristics, as you're smoking the tobacco, that lots of flavor changes throughout the bowl. And so this one, the Virginia Ford hay-like natural sweetness, grassy flavors, it mixes well with that sooty Latakia that's in there, that's kind of certainly present. This is it markets itself as a full English blend. It is, but the Virginias in this particular blend take more center stage, I think, even than the Latakia. And so just a really, really great blend. It's paired it with some Orientals, which is really nice to give it kind of that floral aspect. And so pairs well with the 1792, which leaves you, peppery, bold. I just drank something substantial. This is an English blend. It gives you those rich, bold, sooty notes. But it's going to have the Virginias up front and the Orientals, which give you that natural sweetness, the complexity, something interesting to pair and kind of round off the some of the rough edges of the 1792. So some people would refer to this as a Scottish blend because it has that kind of Virginia Ford flavor to it. It has a little Black Cavendish in there as well, which just kind of smooths it up. Just a really clean, tobacco, full flavored, but burns really, really cool and nice, easy to keep lit. And I think complements the 1792 really well.
All right. Well, great pairings, man. This is always a blast to experience, in this case, at least one new whiskey for me. You know, I there's always kind of this question of how much will the whiskey that you send me be left in my pantry by the time that we do another one. And, you know, I'm happy to say that the last whiskeys have all been fully consumed. I have no doubt that that this will be the case here with these jars as well. Certainly, certainly with the 1792, or wait, yeah, 1792.
Yeah, 1792 small batch.
1792
small batch edition. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much enjoyed that. So great job and great selection. Here's the great thing about Squire Select, though, is not only are we expanding our palates, we're able, you know, our whiskey palates, but we're also kind of given the opportunity to expand out our pipe tobacco palates as well. And the best way to do that is making sure that you're actually able to get all of those different flavors with every single, you know, puff. And one of the reasons why we love to talk about the various flavor notes and everything is because we know it is possible to enjoy a pipe tobacco to the fullest. And that is with a good quality corncob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, man. You know, the Squire Select episodes that we do are really geared towards tasting. And tasting tobaccos is something that can be a lot of fun. And if you want to get real into it, have a very refined, clean experience for every new tobacco that you're trying, let me recommend to you the Shortstop pipe.
Oh, yes.
From Missouri Meerschaum. Now, the Shortstop is great. It's a very small pipe. It only has a pinch worth of tobacco room in the chamber there. It's a really, really light, small frame pipe. You can poke in your pocket, but this is a very inexpensive pipe that you can have a whole bunch of, and with every tobacco you try, have a completely new, clean, fresh bowl that gives you the pure taste of the tobacco. Just a really good smoking experience. It's the same bowl size as the mini, but it has a little bit of a longer stem there to cool the smoke down quite a bit. So, man, just a great pipe, a fun pipe. It's one of those that you can give away to friends, but just really does make an excellent tasting pipe. So, you can get it from the source straight from Washington, Missouri. If you go to corncobpipe.com, you know, check out the Missouri Meerschaum Shortstop pipe and so many different others. And man, smoke it and tweet out a picture. We'd love to retweet it.
Absolutely. And thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for helping make this show happen.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week coming in from listener Scott E.
Scott E.
All right, so here's what he's got. He said, if you had had to choose a first pipe for your non-smoking spouse, what would you choose? Rusticated or smooth, plump or svelte, simple or intricate? How well do you really know what they would want? Thanks. Great job, guys. Now, here's the thing. I think Scott is asking, I can't tell if he's asking this from the standpoint of like broadly for like how you would choose that, or if he's asking us specifically how we would shop for our spouses. But I'm kind of thinking we lean in that direction.
Okay. It's interesting. You know, when my wife obviously is very aware of, you know, what we do and the things we talk about, even though she's not, you know, a pipe smoker, she's taken a puff on my pipe here and there and, you know, does occasionally just to, you know, have a little bit of fun. But she's not a pipe smoker by any means. But she's aware of these things just because, you know, it's our family business and she's around us, you know, a lot while we're talking about it and selling it and all that other stuff. But she likes pipes that have, you know, severe angles and hard edges. Those are kind of interesting to her.
Interesting.
The first pipe she ever bought me was just a straight, real clean but angular, you know, very, you know, 1950s-esque Kamoy Bulldog, and just a really beautiful pipe. But it's a bulldog shaped pipe, and so you know, if I was going to get you know, my wife a pipe, I would probably get her you know, a bulldog, something with those severe angles to it that you know, leave, you know, kind of a nice feel in your hand and you know, touch, you know, certain, you know, just something about holding the pipe makes it more interesting because of those angles and texture and that type of thing. You know, for me, I would always, you know, steer towards if your spouse has ever said something complimentary towards one of your pipes, like, you know, if she's ever said anything complimentary towards, you know, let's say this pipe or that, and she said, man, I just love how colorful that pipe is, or how long it is, or, you know, how pretty the grain on that pipe is, then that's a good indication of maybe, you know, the direction you should go. Other than that, it's really just kind of a blank slate. You know, think about, you know, a new pipe smoker, just like anyone else. You know, would they want maybe a medium-sized bowl, a smaller bowl? A lot of folks, if, you know, spouses in my situation, they want to smoke want to smoke a pipe just to have something to bond with their spouse a little bit. But maybe they don't want to smoke, you know, a three-hour-long bowl type thing. So it seems like a lot of spouses wind up getting smaller bowl pipes just to, you know, have something to keep around and puff on maybe for a few minutes, but not get quite as into as you know, as the primary pipe smoker in the relationship. So I don't know. It's a crapshoot. It's one of those things that you'll just have to take a stab at. But I know for my wife, she would want you know, something that has those nice kind of ridges and angles, and you know, it's something that makes it feel interesting in your hand. So yeah. What about you, Bo?
So knowing my wife, like she would definitely want to like go like head first all in with whatever was like the most crazy extreme like statement type of pipe. But at the same time, I also know she wouldn't be smoking it all that much. So I'd kind of go with actually a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. I'd actually go with the General, you know, the MacArthur.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that that's just, it's kind of so over the top that I know that she would just rush directly towards that.
It's like, even if she doesn't necessarily take up pipe smoking, you know, she's going to have fun just because it's over the top experience, I guess.
Yeah. No, I always go back to, and this is not just, you know, just kind of fun kind of speculation for your spouse, but also like, you know, if you are ever buying a pipe for somebody, maybe you are looking to buy a pipe for your spouse. You know, I think going back to something that you said a long time ago that I keep referencing is that's when you're smoking a pipe, you're already making a statement. And, you know, thinking about how that statement comes across, you got to think about, you know, what is that mindset? What does that pipe smoker want to kind of communicate to the world?
Yeah,
and, I just know my wife, man. She would go all out. So absolutely,
that's awesome.
The MacArthur. So great question, Scotty. We'd
yeah,
love to know
like
if you recently made a purchase for your spouse. Let us know how that went and what was your kind of thinking at the time as well. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for the show, be sure to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire
with the Squire. Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, man. We got some quick fire questions. This is game edition here on Country Squire Radio.
Okay,
and I'm gonna cut these in half. So we'll do three today and three next week.
Okay.
All right. So first one, checkers. Do you choose the red or the black?
Oh, wow.
Like which team? I don't know if team is the right phraseology here, but
yeah,
which side do you go with?
Probably black. I think. Yeah. Black.
All right. Interesting. I go red on checkers. Red on checkers. I don't know that I have a reason for that. But this next one is probably, I do have more of a reason for, and that's chess. Do you go black or do you go white?
I tend to go white in chess because I think the white team gets to go first, right?
Is that true? I thought you flipped. We always flipped a coin. I go
maybe
black
so.
Because, like, you know, the Black Knight and kind of, you know,
yeah.
It's literally a dark horse. I really dig the, I almost always go black or blue or whatever the kind of the non-white team is, but generally black. All right, and then finally, man, poker. Five card or Texas Hold'em?
Man, you know, growing up, we always played five card draw. So I'm gonna have to go with that. I've played Texas Hold'em maybe one time in my life. You know, I'm just not the biggest gambler on earth, even though I understand the appeal of it and know that it's fun for a lot of folks. So, I'm gonna go with five card draw, man. Just gives me kind of that, you know, nostalgic feel.
Interesting. I do not like five card. I'm much more of a Texas Hold'em. And I love me some Texas Hold'em. I haven't played it forever. I think, like, sadly, the last, like, real game I played was one back at your house, like, years ago.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, long time ago, yeah.
You know, I find that most of the time, I'm not a bad poker player, but I am a bad poker player. Because what ends up happening is I do quite well for a large amount of time, and then there's a wall that you hit when it's like, you know, you and like two other people, and you're just kind of like, I kind of want to go home. And then I kind of like look at my stack and be like, do I, you know, what's the cost value here, right? Like, am I willing to pay this amount of money to go home right now? And so then
that's hilarious.
That's when I start making like these just shoot for the moon, crazy, like gambling type moves. Everything up until then is typically strategy, which is why I'm able to last as long as I am. But yeah,
at the end, you're just like, let's either win it all or, you know, go get in bed.
Exactly. But anyway, so yeah, so there you go. That's a little game edition here on Country Squire Radio. Hey, if you got some quick fire questions for us, send them in. show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, first listener feedback. This is coming in from The Bread Man.
Okay.
Yes, The Bread Man in Pittsburgh. He says, one day I woke up and decided I was going to buy a pipe. I smoked cigars, but figured the pipe was much more interesting. Day after day, I work to provide for my family, and all I want in return is to relax and smoke a pipe that I've never actually smoked before. So it's really more of the idea of smoking a pipe, really, that speaks to him. he said, well, that pipe, the quote-unquote my pipe, was purchased at my local antique shop. I heard a good pipe will last a lifetime and beyond, so the purchase was fitting, considering that I'm really into history and art. My first pipe couldn't be new. It couldn't smell fresh. It had to have character. So I found 5 pipes. All were in a glass case, and the shop owner said that an old man had sold these to him. They said that they were his and he was ready to let him go, and so I bought one. Fitting. I walk in and bring life back to this dirty old bowl. It's actually awesome, and I learned some nuances from you both about smoking it. I love the podcast. It's warm and interesting. You guys are pretty cool. Pittsburgh is really far from Mississippi, but I'd love to hang out at the shop someday with my old pipe. Thanks, fellas. And again, that is The Bread Man in Pittsburgh.
Bread Man, thanks so much for listening, and glad you found those pipes, man. Glad you found those historic pieces that kind of push your buttons. You know, a lot of folks get into pipe smoking because of the the romance of it, and you know, kind of the idea of smoking different pipes. And it's not very utilitarian; it's more of a kind of an ideal. And I hope you continue. I hope you really double down on it and enjoy it. It looks like you found some real gems.
Absolutely. Well, all right. Well, there you go. We also have an iTunes review in this week. This is coming in from The Real Mantis. What did The Real Mantis have to say, John David?
The Real Mantis, he says, this is a wonderfully delightful podcast about pipe culture. I couldn't help but notice, however, that there aren't any discussion on those fine glass tobacco pipes that I keep seeing at gas stations. I think JD may have prejudiced against glass pipes. Perhaps I will mail him a dragon-shaped glass pipe for Christmas, and maybe he will come around. Man, The Real Mantis, that is such a kind offer. Glass pipes, yeah, you can find that out on the Urban Squire podcast. we just stick to Briar and Corn Cob and Meerschaum on this one.
No, it's the City Night television show.
The City Night. Yep.
Yeah. The City Night television show is I'm pretty sure that's where that's going down. So you could definitely find it there.
Agreed.
But thank you very much for that 5-star review. And hey, if you want to review us on iTunes, we'd love when you do. It's a great way to support the show and doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But if you are willing to spend a few dimes to make this show happen, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio, where you can join the International Country Squire Radio Pipe Club and get some great benefits for doing so, including access to our Squire Lounge on Facebook and possibly one day on Discord. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe I shouldn't, but I did.
You never know.
So putting that out there. Also, you know, man, I mentioned at the top of the show, I should close the loop on this as well. I keep on kicking around some different ideas for our YouTube channel and some different things to do. You know, I want to kind of show some jarring of some tobaccos. I don't know if that's interesting or not, but I'm kind of floating that here. The other thing I want to kind of float is I've had this idea for something that I don't know would work on the podcast, but I think might be interesting as a YouTube, a mini series on YouTube. And that is something I'm kind of kicking around called Pipe Lore. And it's kind of like our Heroes of the Bowl series, but it kind of goes less into the pipe tobacco and more into the characters themselves. Okay. So I'm just putting that out there. I'm curious to see some feedback if that's something y'all might be interested in. Again, not as an episode series on the podcast, but maybe a little bonus content for the YouTube channel. So yeah,
cool.
Throwing that out there. Also, you can keep up with us throughout the week. You can reach us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
At Squire Radio is the show's handle. And of course, you can find all that good information and more at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, John David, it is always I'm always a fan of whenever we get to do Squire Selects.
I know, man. Shoot, it's one of those things. It's you know, high noon. You know, several drams of whiskey. Now I have to go back to work. Got to have you know, every quarter we have that one really unproductive Monday, and yeah, and here it is.
Well, unproductive and on for everything except for the show. I like to think this is the most productive we are on the podcast.
I agree. It's certainly the most fun on our end.
Exactly. And hopefully it's fun for y'all as well. Well, hey, man, let's go have a week.
See you, brother.